You're listening to the Under Starters Orders Racing Podcast. Expert racing analysis from both sides of the Irish Sea. So stay tuned for the best insights and opinions on the weekend's racing here on the Under Starters Orders Podcast.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Understarters Orders Podcast. I'm Chris Telford, and we'll be taking you through the action this weekend, which is coming from Sandown and Haydock Park. The two big meetings this weekend, we've got the Coral Distaff and the Coral Eclipse from Sandown, and we've got the old Lancashire Oaks and the Old Newton Cup from Haydock, one of my favourite races of the year. So let's bring in the two stooges who are with me this week. It is Andrew Cummins. Hello, Andrew.
Chris, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you, buddy. Thanks for joining me tonight.
Pleasure is mine.
Obviously, I hope you've got some big prize winners this weekend, hopefully got lined up for us. Let's bring in Stephen. Hello, Steve.
How are you doing, guys?
Cutting it close tonight, buddy. Was it a long one?
Oh, yeah, long. You see how prepared I am.
Delighted to be here, I'd say.
Yeah.
Lying. Well,
whether you start agreeing with.
Unfortunately, our friend Declan tonight won't be joining us, or will he?
Oh, yeah.
He's here from his cruise on the Shannon.
I can't hear you.
Oh, he's here from his cruise on the Shannon. How's things going, Dec?
We're in Lanesbury, County Longford. County Roscommon's over the wall, the next pub. Well, we're not too far from Andy. Just about 4 hours on a boat.
Speed of it. Where are you now? Are you in a pub?
I can't really hear you, so I'd probably just say that, you know, if the weather's like it is here, St. Mark's Basilica probably won't finish the race on Saturday.
Oh.
He needs to like the river we've been on.
Well, have a good night, Deck.
Yeah, cheers, lads. Have a good one, right?
See you later.
Give us socks. Cheers,
Dad.
All right.
Look at that.
Well, that was merry of him, wasn't it?
Oh, boy.
Well, thanks for him dropping in anyway. At least he's not rubbing it in our faces that he's on holiday and we're not.
At least he dropped in. Fair play to him.
Yeah, at least he dropped in. That's nice.
I'd say he's drinking for the last 48 hours.
Yeah, he sounds it, doesn't he?
He said St. Mark's Basilica won't finish the race. That's an insane thing to say.
Laurie just said, "Where is it? In the island."
He'll improve. He'll improve for the ground.
Is Ireland? Could you actually consider Ireland a holiday?
Yeah. If you have a lot of money, you can. Yeah. It's really expensive to stay in Ireland.
Yeah. I've got some nice clothing range coming through. Have you had a look at this, boys? Let's load it up.
Oh, yeah.
That looks really nice, doesn't it, boys?
Mm-hmm.
Really nice. Nice padded jacket that will keep you warm in the winter. Oh, there's an ash. Oh, that's beautiful.
The audio listeners are really loving this.
Oh, that's beautiful. Look at this.
Nice.
Oh,
shirt.
Drool over this. That's on the way to Stephen. Oh, look at this. This is yours, Andrew. Oh,
word zip. For the audio listeners, we're going through the new clothing range that'll be dropping soon. So do keep an eye on it. Anybody that can't see the video, so
this isn't a porn video or anything like that. We're just looking at our nice clothing range there. Sorry for all you listeners on the podcast. Well, let's kick off things, boys. We are going to start this week with a Coral Charge, which is on at Sandown on Saturday. Well, what can you say about this 5 furlong sprint? Lazuli is obviously a course and distance winner here. Arecibo, what an effort that was last time out. That was fantastic, wasn't it? But he did have a really ridiculous pace to aim at. Came from the dark. Think he's better on a flatter track. Keep Busy's decent price, I think, at sixes. Atalis Bay at 9-1 and 14-1 bar those. Andy, where have you started with this Coral Charge? It's a group 3/5. Where do you fancy, buddy?
Chris, there's one I really fancy here because there's only one horse that I can see actually going forward from his draw here, and that's Atlas Bay. He's the only horse that's in the field that's kind of gone forward in his last couple of starts. There's a lot of horses here that kind of dwelt and they're, you know, slowly and destroyed. You know, Stone of Destiny, Count Dorsey, you could add him as well. Arecibo was a career best last time out when held up off a 4 furlong pace, basically. You know, his rating of 113 probably does flatter him. Oxted and Arecibo, they must have been nearly 8-9 lengths off the pace, 2 furlongs to go, and the whole pace just collapsed. I'd say that would have taken a lot out of him, and I don't think he's going to have that sort of pace to aim at here. I think it's kind of hard to come from the back on the Sandown sprint track as well, especially if you're drawing out a little bit more wide on the track. Atlas Bay is really the only one I see kind of going forward here, and I know it's a 5 furlong sprint. They're obviously not going to go slow, but they're not going to go as quick as they did in the King Stand. And if Atlas Bay can get across, bag the rail from stall 4, which I think he will, I can see. I just don't see anything really passing him. And at 8-1, I'd be really, really sweet on that. Lazuli would be the big danger, in my opinion, having won the race last year. He was second. He was fifth in the race. I think he won the race the year before. I think it was this. He won last year.
Yeah.
Now, coincidentally, he did make all the running that day, but I think it was more out of the way the race was kind of designed. He hasn't really done it in his last two runs. He did win the Palace Stakes or the Palace House at Newmarket. And again, he was kind of prominent. So Lazuli is the one that will probably be in the box seat. He'll probably try and track Atlas Bay. But if Atlas Bay gets into his rhythm in front, and I've made no secret that I think the 3-year-old sprinters are decent, I think he's a really, really good bet here at 8-1. And I'd be strongly fancying him. He'd be one of my better bets of the weekend, Chris.
Thanks very much, Andy. Decent one there. Stephen, what about yourself?
Yeah, I'm thinking of the same about the front end, really. This might sound like a bit of a spastic question. So, is middle of the course, is it, or is that the stands rail?
Sorry, say?
The low numbers, is that the rail side, is it? Or is that the middle of the track?
Yeah, low numbers will come up their far side. So, they'll be further away from the grandstand.
So, I'm sort of looking at basically what you said about the King Stand. Arecibo obviously will come from the back. Spencer will need a hell of a lot of luck there, because even though it's a wide track, they run quite narrow in the sprints, don't they? Lazuli, he won the Scurry there last year. He bolted up, in fact, then was fifth in this. I sort of backed him last time at Newmarket. I fancy him, but the fact he never got an easy lead, I was quite surprised he still won. I think I was under the impression he needed to be out in front and would sort of gradually wind up and sort of kick on, but I think 5-1 is a good price. And what I do like, I'm going to take a chance. I like Keep Busy. You can sort of throw a blank over these, they've all sort of beat each other once or twice, or the form's been reversed. But Keep Busy's run behind Wooded in the Prix de l'Abbé on this really soft ground with the possibility of a lot of rain is what's swaying me. He was beaten number one a length in fifth. That's really strong form. Wooded running all the top races last year, the Maurice de Geest, races like that behind Space Blues. For me, that's quite powerful in this sort of field. And I'm going to take a chance on him, Chris. 5 or 6 to 1.
Yeah. I've been a little bit disappointed with Keep Busy's starts. I know he got away with it last time in a really poor race at Ur. But he's, from the start, he's been quite slow away. And I think him and that came from the dark will find it quite difficult. Arecibo, you can see why he's going to be favourite, but will he get the pace to weigh, Matt, like he did?
Will he get the gaps?
Will he get the gaps as well, yeah?
The gaps I'd be more worried about, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Lazuli, I don't know how you're pronouncing it, Andy. Lazuli? I keep calling it Lazuli. It is Lazuli. But Lazuli's course and distance winner, and obviously... Last year when he beat Keep Busy, beating by 3.5 lengths, and he was better away that day. You know, obviously he's got 6 pounds to give away to this one, being top of the weight. So I've been looking at something a little bit further down the weights, and I think that Andy's hit the nail on the head with the Talis Bay. He is the one that's going to take them along. And he's definitely a great each way price at a 9-1 that I can see available out there. And he'd be the one each way for myself, a Tarlis Bay, because he's an improving horse. He really has. Didn't he start his winning off on the all weather? I'm sure he did. He did over at Kempton. And then went on. He was pretty poor at Wolverhampton. He was favourite for that race, I'm sure. But he did it well against Warrior Brave here last time. And I think he'd be the one for me each way. You're on him too, Andrew. That's right.
Yeah, I just love him from the gates. I think Sandown will really suit him. And I think Lazuli will follow him home if people want to do a forecast. It'll be Atlas Bay for me.
And Deck, yourself?
Steve.
Where's Deck?
Steve. Well, I like Keep Busy, but one I did forget to mention was it's a 40-1 shot. It's been out of form this year, Happy Romance. But if you go back to last year's Queen Mary and a lot of the other gigs, the 2-year-olds of that sort of time, she was only beaten under a length behind Campanelle in the Queen Mary and been a bit off the pace this year, but 40-1, it wouldn't break anyone's bank to have a couple of quid each way at 40s, you know.
Yeah, definitely. If you're gonna back a horse that's going to need to get the gaps and gonna need the pace to aim at, it may as well be 40-1. So
Of course. Right. Well, let's move on from that race. But I will say that in the weekend of this week, Ed Walker did say that he wasn't guaranteed to run It Came From The Dark because he has got other options. So that might affect the betting a little bit later on in the week. So just keep an eye on that. He wants a bit of rain. Yeah, he'll get it on Saturday morning, but I don't know if there'll be enough for him. Coral Challenge is the next one at Sandown on Saturday. This is wide open, isn't it, boys? We've got 6-1 the field here, 6-1 Montafon. Acquitted is 15-2. Magical Morning at 8 and Pythagoras at 8. Ransom for the Sir Michael Stoutyard at 10-1. Trey Fleury at 12-1 for Oshie Murphy, who's teaming up with Mick Shannon there. Escobar is at 14-1. And bar those, it is extra 16-1. Steve, have you had much chance to look at this? I mean, before we do that, what would you say at Sandown would be stalls to avoid? I was talking to Andy before about this, and I would say low numbers are ones to avoid mainly at Sandown. Would you agree?
Well, it depends if you break quick enough, I suppose. The also I'm going to put up actually needs to break very well and it's drawn higher. But, I don't know. It's especially with the crown as well. The fact that they can come centre track, if it gets really soft, it probably plays less emphasis on the draw, you know.
But, yeah.
You got a 5-1 favourite, Montafon. He was third to Top Rank. Top Rank's then running the lock-ins, run quite well in the Queen Anne, so he's probably a worthy favourite. 9 stone 10, there's a lot of weight. £5 boy taking a few pounds off. I don't know too much about him. Andy's, I think, mentioned him in a text message a couple of days ago, so I'll let him fill us in on what the jockey's all about. Adam Farrah, is it? You got horses like Escobar, probably better in a bout line, strike 7 at Ascot. Ransom's also was sort of looking out for this year, but he's not finished his last two runs. He's not finished his last two races very well. 8 stone 3 though for Sir Michael Stout, Judmont bred, it seems crazy, you know.
Yeah, it really does, yeah.
It's definitely one that will probably be followed quite strongly on a day. Marie's Diamond brings in all of last year's top mile form with horses like Mahathir's, Circus Maximus. I'm not going to say any more if Andy wants to talk about that, so I'm not going to go down there. The one I'm going to put up, Chris, is I don't know if I've ever stuck up a Mark Johnson also on here, but Maidani is the one I really like. A lot of people fancy this for the Hunt Cup, but I think the key to this horse is having a rail and an uncontested lead. Dane O'Neill's right. I'm not sure what the situation is with the jockey bookings. Obviously, Hamdan, he's number two, isn't he? I don't know if Jim Crowley must be at Haydock, I'm not sure, but unless he's banned. But I just like Maidani.
Could be banned.
Yeah,
he's not run tonight, actually. If I'd seen Pat Dobbs on Sunday night.
Sure, he nearly killed Roy Moore at Royal Ascot.
Roy Moore's a good actor, wasn't he? But even Accidental Agent won a Queen Anne a couple of years ago. Maidani, the last time it really won a good race was at Glorious Goodwood last year, where it went out, got an uncontested lead, kicked on Daniel, and it was Goodnight Nurse. It won by about 5 or 6 lengths. It's the first time it's gone right-handed since. 20-1, I'll be having an each way poke on there.
Thanks very much, Steve. Adam Farragher, fill us in, Andrew.
Yeah, you say Irish apprentice who, like, it's probably fair to say he wasn't really getting the chances in Ireland, but at the moment in this country, the level of jockeyship, especially the younger jockeys, is exceptional. He was trying to claim at the same time when Ben Cohen was, Joey Sheridan, Dylan Brown McMonagall, Gavin Ryan. There's a lot of really good jockeys, getting in there to get those allowances as well. And he was just finding life a little bit tough. And he's gone over to England. I think a few of them have actually gone to the UK. He's not the only one. And it looks like he's taken up the apprentice role with William Haggis. And if you see this guy on a horse in the summertime in one of these big spring handicaps, i.e. like this Coral Challenge or the Golden Mile at Goodwood or the Stewards Cup, trust me, that £5 won't last long, and the £3 probably won't last too long either. He's a good jockey. And he gets to ride Montaham here, who's at the top of the weights, who... his last run in a handicap, he was seen beating Sir Busker by a neck, receiving £3 with top rank back in third. So that was off 104. He's off 109 today, he'd be off 109 on Saturday, minus Adam Farrer's £5 claim, which will probably make him pretty hard to beat, to be honest with you. He'd be technically run off 104. I think Adam Farrer is really good value for his £5. And if this is his target, and maybe if it's not the Golden Mile or if there's some other target, if this is his target, I think he'd be a tough nut to crack. I think the top weights are going to dominate this race, personally speaking. And as Steve said, the horse I was about to talk about was Marie's Diamond. Now, I was really sweet on him earlier in the week, and I still kind of am. So the problem I had is I was on the phone to my dad last night, and he was telling me that obviously Mark Johnston loves Goodwood.
Yeah.
And he's not wrong. And this is Marie's Diamond's handicap debut. Ooh. And the back of my mind is just, it's the Golden Mile could be in the back of your mind as well. And it's the same with May Danny. But the thing with Marie's Diamond is you don't have to go back very far in his form to see him, as Steve said, finishing third to Circus Maximus and a Queen Anne, bringing him along. Even fourth to Lady Wannabe at Newmarket and Group 3 Company last year. Even this year, second to My Oberon, trying to bring them along. Like, all these horses are rated at north of 110, and two kind of poor runs later, and, you know, Marie's Diamond is down to a mark of 105. And if it's his handicap debut, which it is, I think this could be a mark he could exploit when he's technically down in class. If he can bag the rail from stall 13, it'll be him or May Danny. I don't think Mark Johnson's going to want his horses to cut each other's throats in front. But if Marie's Diamond can get that lead, hopefully, maybe it is May Danny, maybe it's Marie's Diamond, it'll probably be one of them. I could see one of them going very well from the front, but Montaham is, you're going to have him in the back of your mind because he is probably a well-handicapped horse. I look at other horses, Beat Lebon, Escobar, Beat Lebon, I'm pretty sure, won the Golden Mile, so I'm assuming that's going to be his target. Escobar, he just runs every week, but the Golden Mile, I think he's run in that before and ran very well. I think he was actually second or third to Beat Lebon.
He was unlucky beating, wasn't he, a year ago?
Then there was, who was the horse? Was it the Cityscape horse that we backed? Remember, he got the worst ride of all time in the Golden Mile last year.
Urban Icon.
Urban
Urban. Oh God, my Icon. God, that was, yeah, do you remember that? Anyway, we're getting off target. It'd be Marie's Diamond for me.
More unlucky, I think.
There was loads of unluck stories that day as well. I think the Spurs go wonder race. Marie's Diamond is going to be my pick here. Hopefully he's going to bag the rail, get in front, and catch me if you can tactics. If it's not Saturday, it will be the Golden Mile. I'm going to back him for both races. But Montaham, with Adam Farrer's £5 claim, it's worth, very well worth keeping an eye on that jockey going forward, and that horse, actually. If he's back in handicap company, it could be a tough nut to crack as well. But it would be Marie's Diamond for me, Chris.
Thanks very much, Andy. Yeah, not really a race for myself that stand, a lot of them stand out, but I am going to follow a horse that I've put up before in the past. I actually put him up in the Lincoln when he was 50-1, and that's Auburn for the David O'Meara yard. He nearly nabbed a place that day. It was the one we were arguing over, whether I actually bagged a place there, because you got him on the extra places, but not on the actual, on the slips, but it was ridiculous. He's fresh out of wind surgery. He ran, if you watched that Newcastle race back last time, I travelled like the best horse in that race. I really did. Yes, it was a class two, and this is a step up in class. But I think he didn't, it was a very, very sedate pace, and he is going to travel the best horse in the race if there is a sedate pace. There won't be in this. Now, I've already gone back on something that I've said tonight, because I've already said that low draw numbers are awful, and he's drawn one. So that's already a bit of an off-putting thing. But Jamie, if you're listening, Jamie, just drop the horse right back and come round the outer. Just please do that, Jamie, because I do think that this horse is better than this mark. His RPRs suggest that he's improving, and his second time off wind surgery, I think, if you watched the race back last time, he was travelling, and I think a stiff uphill finish here at Sandown could play into this horse's hand, and 20-1. It's a decent each way price for me, so I'll go for Auburn each way for myself. Deck you? Deck. Bleed again, Andy.
For God's sake. If you want to, we get him on. We can get him on if you want to.
How are you, Mon?
Yeah, no, it'd be. I nearly talked myself into Montahan, but no, I'm going to stick with Maurice Diamond. I think he could be a well handicapped horse on his handicap debut, and I'm hoping that. If it's not Saturday, it's the Golden Mile, but I hope it's Saturday.
And Stephen, you?
I'll be back in my Donny, but I will actually be saving on Marie's Diamond as well. It looks the part, doesn't it, on the paper, you know?
Looks a plot.
And he's not top weight as well. But usually when they drop from group and listed races, they're usually top weight, and he's not. So it's very interesting. Yeah.
Yes, Ben, Chris, marry me. What is going on? Why is this guy spamming us? Oh, come on, Ben, stop spamming. Talk about racing, buddy. Talk about racing, buddy. Let's move on to the Coral Distaff now, which is also another equally tricky race and a short price favourite here in Statement, who's 15-8 in places, but 9-4 at best price. And bar that, we've got 8-1, higher than that. Are we trying to say here that Statement should just turn up and win this race then, Andy?
I'm pulling my hair out with this filly now, Chris. Her run behind Alcohol Free was so promising. It looked like she needed the mile. I actually thought she was going to get up and win, and she was just didn't get there. I really fancied her for the guineas, and she pulled like an absolute train and didn't get home. And it was kind of similar. She was... You know, she wasn't that quick away at Epsom, and she was a little bit keen, and she never really looked like she was going to win that day, and they sent her off a pretty short price. On her second two, Alcohol Free, she is the rightful favourite, but you're just kind of worried that something might come out and beat her. So she is clear on the official ratings. She's £3 clear of Anti Bridie for William Haggis and Adam Farrer, who doesn't actually claim his £5 because this is a listed race. So that just shows you that obviously William Haggis may like him. You look through the rest of the field. Lucid Dreamer was a bit disappointing. Well, she was very disappointing on her only start this season. Seattle Rock finally got off the mark after a promising two-year-old campaign. And you kind of check out the others, and I suppose Statement does look clear. So I can kind of see why she's favourite, but I will take her on with Anti Bridie. I liked her in Ireland as a two-year-old, and she was trained by Bulger. She won on her debut after being well-backed. In typical Jim Bulger fashion, she chucked into the Maiglare in her second start and finishes 6-13, very respectable run. And then she was just touched off in Group 3 company on her final start. I don't know what happened in the Fred Darling at Newbury. She got sandwiched between some fillies, and James Doyle essentially pulled her up. If she returns to her two-year-old form, which I think she will. She's out of a Galileo mare. She's by Camacho, but you know, the Galileo mares, they tend to really come on. Their offspring tend to really come on as they get older. What I've seen in Ireland is useful. And I would trust that she is going to be back to somewhere near her best. And I'd take her to win, because if she is somewhere near her best, she'll beat Statement. And I don't know if there's much else in behind. I think Aurora is a nice filly from the Andrew Balding yard, but she's been running over 10 furlongs recently, and she's back to a mile here today. Her run behind Creative Flair wasn't bad at Ascot, but it's still a little bit short of what would be required here. So it would be anti-Bridey for me.
Anti-Bridey. A lot of love for Adam Farrer tonight from you there, Andrew. Stephen.
Yeah, no, it's just tricky hate, isn't it? Like, Statement looks clear on all on everything we've seen, but it's just the Epsom run just puts me off. It was backed off the balls that day as well. There was a couple of them runs, I think, late in the day, but I think when we spoke about it on the pod, it was like 8 or 9 to 1 shot. I think it went off around 2s, but it was well beaten in third, you know, a lot of big distance between a winner and a second, but obviously the ground win on Friday with the Oaks, it was soft, and there was some races where they was coming down the centre of the track. It's probably the most likely winner, but you got the second favourite with 16th of 17 in El Guin. Like, it's obviously Andy's just made a good case for why it probably is second favourite and what it could probably do. But you got Lucid Dreamer was last of 17 in El Guin. That's a 10-1 shot. Castena was Anti Post favourite for the Sandringham Stone last of 20 of 21. Sunita's an interesting one. This horse was talked about as an Oaks filly back in the day. Run behind Hurricane Lane at Newbury, it ran really badly. I'm not trying to use it as a good bit of form, but it was favourite for the race, I believe, when Hurricane Lane won. And then went to the Musidora, was well stuffed by Snowfall, like everything else was in the field. But she was beaten like quite far out. So it's a massive drop in trip on Saturday. It's a Franco out of a tone. It's a proper Judmont breed. This is like a really well-bred filly. 14-1 shot. I don't know what to expect from that. Just the drop in trip, and I don't know whether that'll be a positive or not. Really, it's a race I'm really struggling with.
Watching brief maybe for Sunita.
Yeah, it looks as interesting for me. Like, Roger Charlton's horses are never normally ready that time of the year, like when the classic trials are being run. The fact he ran it in it, maybe he really likes her, you know. Like, I know Quadrilateral were let down last year, but it's an interesting run. To be honest with you, Chris, I suppose Statement would be the obvious, and I wouldn't really want to throw anyone into anything else, but I don't really fancy the favourite either.
I know. It's a tough one, isn't it? It really is.
Yeah.
She is, you know.
I suppose Sunita, for the fact he's been dropped 3 furlongs, is probably, but on her form she's shown this year, you'd be bonkers to back her, really. I must say so. But
if she's going to win a race, this is the race for Statement.
It might be a race here where you've got loads of question marks about everything. Like,
yeah, not really one I'll play in this one. So what's your selections there, boys?
Oh, it's a race I'll be watching as well, Chris. But Anti Bridey with a gun to my head.
See?
Sunita, but just a small each way.
Yeah. Tough race at Distaff. Just a nice watching brief there. Next one, a very disappointing forerunner, Coral Eclipse. Very disappointing indeed, isn't it, boys? I mean, you put up the prize money is there, and you get 4 runners turning up. Andrew, you were talking about this before, weren't you? About the an old Rod Millman horse that
I seen a tweet on Twitter. It was Rod Millman's son, I think, that put it up. And it was about Master Carpenter. Some of our listeners, I think we all remember him. A really admirable, nice horse. Always ran his race. I think he's a National Hunt Stallion now, actually.
So they
basically had this idea to run Master Carpenter in the Coronation Cup at Epsom, because it always attracts 4 to 5 runners. And they weren't wrong. Like, it was a race that tends to cut up. It's a race that usually gets overshadowed by Royal Ascot. And, you know, it's such a specialist track that a lot of trainers would just kind of avoid it. And they paid all the entry fees because it's an early closer like the Coral Eclipse, and I think it costs even more than $7,000 to run. I think it's a little bit more to run in the Coronation Cup. But long story short, eight or nine runners show up, and suddenly you're not guaranteed your money back. And Master Carpenter finished sixth, which was good enough to get his entry fee back, but he ended up having a really, really hard race, and the horse wasn't the same for a couple of months. And that's why owners and trainers won't fork up the $7,000 that it costs to run in a race like the Coral Eclipse, because Mishriff, St. Mark's Basilica, Adabe, arguably the three best 10 furlong horses, well, maybe not three, maybe three of the top five, definitely three of the top 10 in Europe at this trip. And what happens if Love is in here? What happens if Lord North is in here? Wonderful tonight. I know there's no excuses for these horses showing up or not showing up. But if a few of them show up, suddenly you've done your money. If you have a progressive handicapper that you think might win the link and you know, turn into a decent 10 furlong horse going forward, that you might actually think of the Eclipse as a potential target for that horse if it does progress the way you think it does. You're probably not going to pay the $3,000 or $4,000 it costs in May to run your horse or to potentially run your horse at the start of July. It's just the problem here isn't the owners and trainers. The problem is the race closes way too early. And it's not the only time. I seen a tweet as well. It was the reason Sir Busker wasn't putting the Sussex Stakes. There's loads of reasons for people not running their horses and early closers. It's terrible in Ireland. The Phoenix Stakes is a race that comes to mind. The Group 1 Phoenix Stakes for 2-year-olds, usually at a small field, because that race closes before a 2-year-old race is even run. So you have to just to chuck him in for the laugh or her in for the laugh and hope it just becomes a Group 1 horse. So maybe it's just the way that the entry fees has to be looked at. That's why we have this small field of four. It is what it is. At least we have an absolute exceptional field of four. I'd rather this field of four than a very average field of four. Winner this likely goes off favourite, maybe bar Love, for the Judmont International. So it's not like it's a bad race. And so it just is what it is with the four runners.
So here comes the St. Mark's Basilica propaganda.
Here we go. The best 3-year-old colt in Europe at this trip anyway. And look, I just think I've always thought this horse was quite useful. You know, he's really uncomplicated. He was never keen in his races. He was green, but he was never not listening to his jockey. Aidan O'Brien stuck him into Phoenix Stakes only his second start. He was backed off the boards into 7-2 to win the Phoenix Stakes after being 8 or 9, 10-1 in the day. Didn't quite get that done. It was a gamble. It was an absolutely crazy gamble.
Light as well.
Six furlongs just wasn't sufficient for him. He did win his maiden over the trip. Still green. He was still green in the national stakes as well when he was third to Thunder Moon. He was a good third that day. And it all just came together at Newmarket in the Dewhurst, beating Wembley. Now, admittedly, beating Wembley and Thunder Moon, probably not the best form in the world. Those horses have kind of disgraced themselves in two to three runs apiece this year. Cadillac was back in fifth, and he was probably, well, Poetic Flair was actually 10th, was only the second start of his life. But excusing Poetic Flair for that run, Cadillac was probably the best horse he beat that day. That would have been on his A game. Obviously, with the breeding incentives, he's a French bred, so with the breeding incentives, it was worth their while to try the French classics with this horse. Do bear in mind, he was in the Prix Jean de Lagardère on Arc Day, and then the food contamination stopped him running, so that's why he won the Dewhurst and not Wembley. He wins the 2000, French 2000. We don't have Lauren here, do we? The Emirates Paul Dessy de Poulain. That's going to be my effort there. He bolts up in that and then wins the Prix de Jockey Club in stellar fashion as well. And it was a turn of pace at Chanté that was just scary. He put the race to bed in about 5 or 6 strides. And it's worth noting that he was bumped at the start of that race. And another thing, when you see a very, very good horse, when they get bumped or something happens to them at the start, they're usually lit up, they're usually keen. But St. Mark's Basilica takes a pull. Reeds meant Disabel takes a pull. St. Mark's Basilica goes, okay, fair enough, no problem. Doesn't pull for his life, what you'd usually see. It's kind of almost their instincts to do that. And he just listens to his jockey, does his thing, goes home, and he just looks like an exceptional racehorse. He gets a three-year-old allowance here. And I actually think he's going to improve for better ground if he gets it. I think Sayuni has a 27% strike rate on good to firm or quicker. And I just think the horse hasn't had an opportunity in his education yet to run on good ground. I don't think he'll have any issues with it. Sure, his half-brother Magna Grisha loved the road. So honestly, wouldn't bother me the slightest what the ground's going to be. Look, out of the others, though, Mishriff is no mug. He's, in my opinion, the most exciting stallion prospect in the last few years. The fact that he's won big races on dirt. And he's won a Prix de Jockey Club. He's won at Maidan. I think he won the... he beat Chronogenesis and Loves Only You, two Japanese horses in the Shima Classic. Both Japanese horses have won Group 1 since. So obviously that's very, very good form. And I just love Mishriff. He's an absolutely exceptional creature as well. And he'll give St. Mark's Basilica plenty to think about. And to be honest, I'd probably have him favour. I would have thought Mishriff would have been even money for this personally. I thought St. Mark's Basilica might have been a little bit bigger than 6-4. Mm. And I haven't even came to the Globetrotting of Dave, who's doing all his best winning out in Australia. He did win at James's, or he didn't win at James's Palace 2 years ago. He won the Champion Stakes, beating Scaletti at Magical. And look, he's 125 rated. He's actually the highest rated horse in the field. Will it be soft enough for him? He's had a little break. That would be enough to put me off. And then El Drama, Roger Varian's going to scoop up a couple grand here. Look, what can you say about him, really? He's like, in all on the form book, he's only had 5 runs. He's entitled to be still progressing, but Jesus, he's got a lot to find on the book here. Beating Maximal in the D Stakes isn't going to cut it at this level. He was well beaten by St. Mark's Basilica in Shanty. You could always forgive a progressive horse like that a bad run, but you're forgiving him a run. He's rated 109. St. Mark's Basilica 120, Mishriff 122, Adabe 125. It kind of says everything you need to know, basically. So I am rambling, but I'm going to be on St. Mark's Basilica. As I said, I think he's the best 3-year-old colt in Europe. At 10 furlongs, I even think you get a mile and a half as well. I don't think we'll see him over a mile and a half. I would love to see him in the arc. I think he'd be sitting there on the bridle furlongs home. He'd be sitting there. There'd be nothing traveling better than him in an arc 2 furlongs from home. Would he get home is the question. It's a really, really good race. I just hope it's not. I just hope that it's a fair race. They could go slow. I think it's fascinating, but it'd be St. Mark's Basilica for me, and I just have to stick with him. Beat Mishriff in an absolute thriller. I think it'd be maybe a neck, half a length. I think it'd be an excellent race.
St. Mark's for Andy. Brad Carter's got it right there on Facebook, hasn't he? It looks a great battle despite this small field. You share that, don't you, see?
It's a great little field, yeah. The tactics, it could be the thing that either make the race or mess up the race. You just don't know who's going to do what. Obviously, Andy loves Marks, and obviously he's been proven right as well with the 2 clicks. Bringing the 2,000 guineas to me. He looked a little bit tap for toe just before he pulled out, and he just went whoosh. But I don't know. Something that, for me, I don't know whether it's the jockey that rode him the last twice. He's all over the place, and he looks like a Hunter Chase jockey. But
yeah, it's like Luke Morris, the French equivalent.
It's really,
yes.
He's just
that bum going up and down.
It doesn't look right, does he? But he can't really knock what he's done. To be honest with you, the French Derby win, I think he was in the perfect position all the way. Everything was wide and the gaps coming. He looked like the only horse from a long, long way that could win the race. And obviously he'd done the business. He quickened up like a good animal. What would he be like if he broke too well and he was in the front is what would be my sort of concern for him. He looks like he likes to get a toe into the race. He quickens well with cover when he's pulled out. What if the other two started playing silly buggers, you know, like Dave's adaptable, like versatile. He led in the Prince of Wales Stakes last year where only
Lord North
caught him late. Yeah, the Champion Stakes, he was sort of first or second and struck He's very, very powerful at this trip as well. But like Andy said, I think he likes it really soft. The heavier the better for him. He gives him a real advantage on a lot of animals in this division, which is why I keep saying he's worth backing for the Champion Stakes blind now, because you know what you're going to get. Race cuts up, he's gonna be there, you know. Like Haggis has said, he will never run him again on anything faster than good to soft. Misriff, bloody hell, what an horse. I totally rate him off in the Shima Classic because he had such a hard race on dirt. Made me look a bit of a fool. But you're talking about the arc for St. Mark's Basilica, even Misriff for the arc, like the way he won the French Derby on bottomless ground last year. He only got split late. He went through quick and well. Like ground's not a problem for him at all. He then beat Victor Ladorum in a mile and one race in France where he led all the way. So he's also, you can sort of put him where you want, you know. He's been dropped out in the Shima. He's been up in the van in dirt. He's also led in the Group One race. So it's for me, it's all about tactics. So even El Drama, like, probably can't win, but he beat Ybir in the Chester race. Ybir was in front of a dayer at Sandown. You know, if you're going to start really trying to pick pieces of form, there's a little bit there. Maximal travelled like a really good horse in the St. James Palace as well. I'm not saying for an instance 25-1 it's a bet, but he's a good horse in his own right, you know. But what am I going to bet in it? I might not even have a bet in this race. I just want to enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing. If you're absolutely pissed down tomorrow and Saturday, I'd probably back a day because of the three runners. I'd rather back a 3-1 shot than a 6-4 shot. But I just hope there's no hard luck stories and there's no, like,
yeah. I hope it doesn't turn into a bit of a faff.
Could David Egan try and dictate a really slow pace? I don't know. Like, it's just. So what do you think will happen, Andy? What do you think will go on?
I don't know. I was actually, that wasn't a question I was about to ask you, as I said in the private chat once, to ask you guys a question, but El Drama was prominent in the D stakes, but the likelihood is if he's rated 109, Andrea had saying he's probably just going to drop him out and try and pick up pieces.
I think Misriff it'll be a day.
I think it'd be a day myself, because I think Misriff, like, he likes to be close up as well, but he's not been known to lead. Now he almost basically pulled himself to the front. When you remember that Derby trial that he won at Newmarket, he was in front a long way out that day, and he's really versatile. So I think a Dave and Misriff on his skirts to keep him honest. I don't think they're going to absolutely crawl, because St. Mark's Basilica, he's a Dewhurst winner. He's not slow. Aidan O'Brien ran him in a Phoenix Stakes last year. So if it does turn into a sprint, he's not going to be lacking for toe, unless, of course, he's maybe two or three lengths off them. But I really just can't see that being the case.
Yeah. What we don't want either is a not now KO situation where you get one go over one side and then the other side.
Yeah. You've seen it happen at Sandown, haven't we, before?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it could happen. You never know. Mm. It's just going to be a great race, boys, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it. Really am. I don't think we need token selections. The Mark's Basilica. I just want to see a good winner. I really want to see a good winner, because these are, as part of, well, no disrespect to El Drama, but the top three, really.
I'm curious. We want to see the 3-year-old win.
Yeah. Lads, if you could, if you're allowed to add one horse to this field, who would it be? To make it a quinta instead of a quarter. I know it's not going to happen and it can't happen, but just off the top of your head, what horse would you add to this field to make it?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Ooh. it's hard, isn't it?
Skeletti, but Skeletti would have ground to make up on a day. Anyway.
For me, it would be Love.
I think that's probably Love.
Yeah, I think Grounds.
There is Snowfall as well.
Yeah, Snowfall would be interesting, because Snowfall.
Oh, that's a good answer. Tanawa, Lord Glitters.
Yeah. Lord Glitters had that. Just add Red Rum if you want. I don't know.
Bino's Bino.
Right. Well, let's move on, boys. That's Sandown finished with quite quickly tonight. So we're going over to Haydock now. We're going over to Haydock and we're looking at the Lancashire Oaks. one of my favourite meetings at Haydock, this meeting. I think it's a great meeting. This Lancashire Oats is a Group 2 over 1 mile 4. We've got Alpinista at 9-4. Mystery Angel is a little bit bigger there at 11-2. He's seen a bit of money in the last few hours. Dubai Fountain at 6s. Tribal Craft 8-1. Laloon's in there. Wasn't that yours, Steve, last time, Laloon?
I think you give it to me. I don't think I stuck it up.
Yeah. Well, she did look very, very good last time.
Yeah, no, I did. I think I did. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Cabaletta was in the very same good race, last wasn't time.
It? Yeah. Have you had a look at this one, Steve? Is the one that you like in this one?
I've had a look at it. A little look. Favorite's quite short. Prescott's also. A best bit of form will probably be the Yorkshire Oaks behind Love. It was well beaten with a mummy's head in his chest. So I suppose he's a worthy favourite on that. Mystery Angel, when it won a Pretty Polly at Newmarket, I think we called her a few names saying it was a bit of a shit race. And she then went and won second in the Oaks. I know it was a well beaten second, but she finished in front of Santa Barbara, who ran an absolute blind and probably would have won with another stride last week. Oh no, it wouldn't have done. I think the winner was idling. But yeah, anyway, Santa Barbara actually showed a bit of form last week. Dubai Fountain brings the Chester win where it ran one well. What do you fancy, Chris?
For myself, I think Brad again in the chat's hitting it on the nail on the head today. I think Mystery Angel is looking very hardened, and I think she
classic
will.
Form. She's getting just under a stone from the favourite as well. Obviously, wait for her.
You know, Nick Bradley Racing have got a really good one on the hands here, I think, and she's improved her form this year. I really do. She's only got one win under her belt though, but you know, she's really tough and since she stepped up to this, you know, further staying distances, she's looked a lot better filly, I feel.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure she'd actually stay after Newmarket either, but
She was grossly overpriced in the
It probably was one of the weakest ever Pretty Polly's. Obviously, the Musidor is obviously the strongest trial apart from obviously the 1,000 guineas. But I suppose, 9-2. I think she should be a lot shorter in the betting than compared to the press goals. But
yeah,
obviously, Andy will touch on Cabaletta, so I won't bother with that. Peter Chappell Arms got a runner in here. I'd like to see that run wheel for him, you know. But Mystery Angel for me, Chris, so it's like a token bet.
Yeah, same with me, Mystery Angel. Andrew, what about yourself?
I've come in an outsider in this, and it's not Cabaletta. She's disappointed me this season. I'd forgive her York, but like she was beaten by Laloon. There is no excuses there. I think she needs a longer trip personally than a mile and a half. Mystery Angel, I remember Steve and I had a conversation about this filly. Well, not about this filly. It was actually about the Newmarket, the Pretty Polly Stakes listed race. She won at Newmarket, and I think you fancied something for a maiden at Yarmouth, and the second Sea Carrots was in it. And I said that was a bad listed race, and I wouldn't worry about her. And it doesn't look like the best of listed races, but the winner was very good.
I'll blow that. That's right.
Yeah. So, Title
won the maiden, didn't it? Title went on to be favourite in one of the Ascot races as well.
Now Mystery Angel's been, she's proven me wrong. I thought that was a bad listed race she won, and she ran well behind Snowfall, and then look, she was second again behind Snowfall in the Oaks, albeit a million lengths behind. I go on about pedigrees all the time, and I'd used them to make a case for a horse, but this filly is by Cody Bear and out of a Dark Angel mare, and she's flourishing over 12 furlongs. It just makes absolutely no sense. Makes a complete fool of me. But there it is. You only know, you know, the pedigrees, I suppose, just proves ain't the be all and end all. Cody Bear is having a fantastic time at stud recently, and Mystery Angel, probably the flag bearer of his 3-year-old crop. I'd be against her here, though. I'm not sure the 3-year-old fillies are that good at this trip. Like, Snowfall won the Oaks by so far that it just tells me, like, I'm sorry, but I can't take Snowfall being an absolute world beater. You know, like, if Snowfall was in the Eclipse, what price would she be? That would be very interesting. And
well, you base it a little bit on her 2-year-old form, but
yeah,
you know, it's it's a tough one. Like the 3-year-old fillies, I'm just going to steer clear of them for now. Dubois Fountain, I think, has been found out at this trip in better company. She was given a very enterprising ride to win the Cheshire Oaks at Chester, obviously. And I think that's about the best of her ability. I don't think she'd be getting too involved here at the price. As I said, Cabaletta, it would not surprise me if she ran really well. I'm still convinced that there's a race of this nature in her. I just think it might be over a mile and six or maybe even 2 miles. She's a big filly. She might take a while to get fit. So it might be worth maybe keeping an eye on her, but I just don't see her reversing the form at La Lune. The one I did come down on at a big price was Makawi, 6-year-old mare, who has been running quite well. She's always been around this class, you know, listed group three. She ran well behind Pista in a group two last year at Doncaster. She was only beaten, well, a short head by Alpinista at Goodwood last year. And she's 16 to 1, or she was at the start of the season. Sorry, she's 16 to 1. Alpinista is a whole lot shorter, 13 to 8. And that's just the price discrepancy. I know it was a three runner race and it wasn't really a very truly run. And she led and tried to increase the tempo. And Alpinista was probably better value for the short head, but the price discrepancy is just a little bit too much. She will lead, she'll give it a good go. She ran well behind Roberto Escobar last time out of York. And I just think if she can get to the front here, if Dubois Fountain doesn't pester her, I think she'll run quite well for a 16 to 1 shot here. So she'd be my selection.
Thanks very much, Andy. Makawi for Andrew. Stephen.
Mystery Angel.
Mystery Angel. I'm just used to saying Declan every week. And now he's not here. He's not there. Is this the first time Deck's not been on?
Yeah.
Oh, God, no.
He's rude.
No, he's missed one or two. I don't think he's missed any. I used to be the person with the best participation, actually, and then I missed a few when I came down to Clare.
I'm the one with the worst participation. So.
And it's your blame, Sean.
Yes. Well, that's what it is, isn't it? Right. An old winner of this race, one that, you know, really got me, like, really giddy. Don't know if you remember, her name was Gertrude Bell, John Gosden's.
Yeah,
I remember her. She was fantastic. I used to love Gertrude Bell. Just a blast.
She won a Chester Oaks as well, didn't she? Cheshire Oaks, I think.
Yeah. She was one of my favourites. This race is one of my favourite races of the year. Old Newton Cup is another quality handicap. Let's move on to the Old Newton Cup now. We are going to look at, this is our final race of the evening. We see at the top of the market a returner for the Sir Mark Prescott Yard and Luke Morris bumping up and down Brigade. Longsider, here he is. He's had a big break off here and generally doesn't really go to one with a break. He's been off a break this handicap. Grand Bazaar is at 8-1. Valerian Steele, who was a nice winner at Kempton last time, at 8-1 to be a champion at 9s. Adei at 10-1, Midnight Legacy 12s, my Franco 14s, and 16-1 bar those. Where do we fancy going here, Andrew? Where do you want to start? Mark Crean, let's just mention Mark Crean because he's aboard Adei here. He's having a really good time of things at the minute, Mark Crean. I think he's a cracking jockey, getting a lot of good chances. And I think he's got another good chance in here in Adei for the Simon and Ed Christopher Jog. What would you say about that, Andy?
It was a good run now at Royal Ascot behind Quickthorn on ground that probably went a bit like he has ran well on soft ground, but the heavy ground probably wouldn't have been to his liking. Before that, he absolutely bolted up at Newmarket. He won very, very easily. Now he was odds on, I think.
Yeah, 8-13.
He won like a progressive horse. He won like, there's a similar approach to what the same colours. Obviously, it's Ed Simon and Ed Christopher, not William Haggis, but Adei. He climbed through the handicaps, and you wouldn't be surprised if this lad, Adei, did become a group horse in the meantime. He is probably a rightful favourite. He's thriving at the moment. there's a few in here that I do like, though. Midnight's Legacy is a horse I've always been quite... I've kind of followed him. I've never followed him to have a bet. I'm more following him because of his story. He is owned by Pitchell Stud, who were best known for standing Midnight Legend, who was a prominent jump stallion. He's no longer with us now, but, you know, he sired some phenomenal horses. He was responsible for sizing John. Sky Pirate is in there. See You at Midnight. Warrior's Tale. And one of my favorite horses as well, Potter's Legend. So, you know, hey. Midnight's Legacy, Midnight Legend, he was a fantastic jump sire. Not from the best of families, but always produced really good horses. And Pitchell Stud's idea was to have Midnight's Legacy follow Midnight Legend's honor. So they stuck him out. He actually made it as a two-year-old to the flat and won as a two-year-old Fallon King at Bath. And that story kind of captivated me. He won his next few starts at Haydock. So he has course form, course and distance form as a three-year-old. And he's run admirably. And he's actually even run over hurdles before, but without much success. He's been well beaten. He was well beaten by Duffelcoat at Wetherby, I think. But the fact that he's by Midnight Legend is that he should be getting better with age. And he actually won at Epsom last time out, beating Soto Sizzler. Now, Soto Sizzler was a very unlucky loser because he gave them lengths at the start. He completely missed a break at Epsom. He must have missed a 5 or 6 lengths. And then I think it was O'Shea Murphy, had to work. He worked very hard and he got Soto Sizzler to the front with about a furlong to go. And then he just ran out of petrol from his early race exertions. So it's hard to kind of gauge whether Midnight's Legacy can confirm the form with Soto Sizzler, but what I can confirm is that was likely a good race. And there, Soto Sizzler, who missed a lot of time, I think he wasn't seen for quite a while. I think he ran as a 4-year-old, wasn't seen as a 5-year-old back this year. Midnight's Legacy and Soto Sizzler, I think both have more to prove, more to give. Soto Sizzler, just because he hasn't had too many runs, and Midnight's Legacy, because his pedigree kind of tells you that, like, Midnight Legend literally sires jump horses. He will be getting better with age. And I think we kind of seen the first signs of that at Epsom last time out. Zabil Champion as well is another one. He's had a great season, winning, I think, 3 times. And he finished ahead of Adi at Ascot. It's a really competitive race, Chris. It's hard to kind of get... I haven't even touched on Longsider, but I think Steve is going to get in on that, so I'll leave him with that. I would probably go with Midnight's Legacy, Chris. I'd be worried that Soto Sizzler could reverse the form. I'll probably end up having a little bit on both of them, but for the podcast terms, Chris, it'd be Midnight's Legacy for me. I've finally been drawn in by the story. I've followed him for quite a while without ever backing him or tipping him, really. So it would be Midnight's Legacy for me.
It's heartstrings, though. It's pulling at your heartstrings, that horse.
I do. Definitely. I like it. It's a small stud, and they defied a lot by getting Midnight Legend to the heights that they managed to get him to. Siring a Gold Cup winner. And they have an ambitious dream to get this lad to stud. Whether he's good enough is another question, but I wouldn't say so. But look, if they did it with Midnight's Legend, I wouldn't put it past him. So I hope he does go well here and then can maybe pick up a listed race or a group race later on.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Andy. Have you got a selection for this one? And I'm doing it again. Stephen, every time.
Yeah, I'm really keen on Longsider. I actually think it could be better the weekend. Might sound a bit bonkers, really. He's never run on turf to start with. I don't know how many of David Lanigan's normally got some Prescott, but that's another thing that he's done. But he's won 2 little races. He's won well both times. The thing was with me, he was quite short for the Northumberland Plate last week. Well, I've been sort of watching the market for 2 or 3 weeks beforehand, and he was single figure odds. He was sort of detracting all week, and he was pulled out quite late. Maybe this is an easier option, but I just think this is one of them bloody Mark Prescott plots. 8 stone 10. Luke's going to be rowing away, isn't he?
Yeah.
Pretty early in the race. But I just wonder whether it might be one of them who's got a light in hand. I'm wondering whether this could be their Ebor horse as well. I'm not sure what would he need to get in, and he's only rated officially 92.
You'd need this win and then maybe something else.
Yeah.
He'd want to absolutely sluice up here and then probably run well in a listed race.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that far ahead that he could be that sort of type, but a lot of the horses against it, I've run at Ascot as well, which I'm trying to avoid them, the horses that have run on that ground at Ascot that week. It's only like a couple of weeks ago, so I think this horse might have a lot of advantages against some of the field as well as quite a lot of weight in hand of some of them. But what's drawn 18 going to mean, Chris? Haydock?
Haydock, way out.
Yeah, so he probably had to take a tug and hope for a bit of luck. And if there's a bit of juice in the ground, they might come down the centre, you know. But I think this could really be a plot for the weekend.
Thank you.
Fly Me to the Stars, was it?
Fly Me to the Stars, second year behind Nikita, I believe. Similar sort of profiles, you know.
Similar profile, hard to train, yeah.
Yeah, and I just like I say, he normally has one a year anyway. So when he's thinking Ebor, Cambridgeshire, you know, Cesarevich, just wondering whether this is the one. I'll be honest, I'm on already anyway, but yeah, I could look a complete fool Saturday, but yeah, I get the impression this could be.
Mark Johnson generally has targets this race, and he's got a few in here, hasn't he? Zabil champion. In fact, has he only got Zabil champion now?
My Franklin.
Yeah, my Franklin.
I know. Sorry.
He has
the trainer.
Trader at 25s. He's targeted this race in the past. Yes. Seems a bit of a stepping stone for Longsider, doesn't it, towards that eBay? He'd have to win this and win this with a decent amount in hand to probably, you know, get to that 100 ceiling rating that he'd probably need to even think about even scraping into the Ebor. You know, it's doable. There's a horse of William Knight that I think could also run well in that Ebor, and I've actually forgotten the name now. But I'll come back to that another day. But he would be in the same kind of side of Campers Longsider and have to win a decent handicap like this or a listed race to even think about scraping in. So you could see it as being a plot side job for that middle and park team who, you know, have had success with it in the past. So Longsider for you, is it, Steve?
Yeah, Longsider, yeah, definitely.
Andy?
I will be with Midnight's Legacy.
Midnight's Legacy. I'm going to go with a day for Mark Green and Simon and Ed Crisford. He's 9-2 in places, but he's 10-1 with Bet365. So 10-1 is a decent each way shot if you want to go for that. 9-2 to 10-1, there's a huge disparity there. So if you want to do that, doing that now, because I think he'll be shorter on the day. I'm worried a little bit, but not too much, about that heavy ground at Ascot, like Steve mentioned. But I actually think he was a horse on the improve at Newmarket when he beat. I think he beat Rodrigo Diaz. Yeah, he did. And I think he's an improving horse. So I'll take a day in that race. That brings us to the end of the races that we're covering this weekend. Have you lads got anything else for the weekend, boys?
I don't know.
No.
I had a look through NASA's card. It's a pretty substandard card for an Irish weekend, really. A few nice maidens. Obviously, at this time of year, the 7 furlong maidens are always worth keeping an eye on, but there wouldn't be any betting proposition. So we'd just be keeping an eye on it. But I'll be back in a few at Sandown. Atlas Bay, St. Mark's Basilica, Marie's Diamond to be my tree. I'll be backing from this podcast.
A lot of John Leeper comes out again tomorrow at Sandown. Who knows what happened in the Derby? Sort of travel well. It looked like he was coming wide. It just sort of seemed to fall in a hole. But he's a 7-4 shot tomorrow. Dropped back to listed company. You know, like the impression he set in Newmarket at the time before was quite good. He looked like a good animal. If Epson hasn't tarnished him too much, he should really be winning that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Against you and Glenn, but
apart from that, is that it, Steve? Nothing from yourself?
It's a shame the Eclipse is such a small field, I think, otherwise.
Yeah.
Is it?
That's true.
There is there's the Grand Prix de Saint-Cloud and the German Derby this week as well. So the there is some very good racing actually coming up. So I think In Swoop is running in the Grand Prix de Saint Cloud.
Well, that'd be nice. That'd be nice to watch. Yeah, there's only one from myself this weekend, and it runs in the race after the Old Newton Cup. It's a nursery handicap over 6 furlongs, and I think it is probably the ride. I'm hoping that Mark Crean can do the double, actually, because he's on a horse of George Boy's called Kashu, who I thought looks particularly well in this. It's a 0-75, and he's going to run in off 77. But you look at the horses in behind, and I think that he's probably got a little bit, you know, even off top weight, I think he's still got a little bit in hand there on that at that race. He's 9-4 at the minute, but that would be the only other one for this weekend for myself. Kashu in the 350 at Haydock. So that brings us to the end of the podcast, boys. Thanks for joining me this week.
Cheers, Chris.
It's a pleasure, Chris. Thank you.
No worries, boys. And hopefully we'll have some winners if we can. Be a nice chilled weekend, it seems, after last weekend, which was fantastic. And we'll be back again the week after. So thanks very much, everybody.
Cheers, guys.
See you later, boys.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. Head on over to our handle at USO Podcast and click the notification bell to never miss an episode.